Good morning. Welcome everyone to Kelvin Christian Reformed Church. I want to give a special welcome to any visitors, family, and friends joining us today. I want to welcome to anyone that may be worshiping with us online. It is good to be together as God's people, to hear from our God, and to sing praises to Him. As we get started this morning, I should make a few announcements. First, just a couple of activities coming up in our church this week. On Tuesday afternoon, we're going to have a meeting of the worship planning team, kind of looking ahead to the next month, and anyone is welcome to sit in on that if you want. On Wednesday afternoon, the afternoon Bible study group is going to get together and kind of start kicking off the year to come. So information about that is in the bulletin. And then looking just a little bit further ahead, next week, August 21, we're looking to have a fellowship meal. There's information about that in the bulletin, about what we're going to have and what you can do to help out. And then finally, in 2 weeks, on August 28, we're going to have our congregational meeting to elect new council members for the year ahead. So there's lots of information in the bulletin about that. I trust that all of you can read, but I just want to make sure that you see that. And particularly if you can't come on the 28th, there's information about how you can submit an absentee ballot. But hopefully, you'll just be able to be here on the 28th, and we won't have to worry about that. So I think that covers announcements for the day. We've gathered here as God's people, and God calls us to worship Him this morning with these words from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's join together in singing praise to our God. We're going to sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And so let's rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
All hail the power of Jesus' name.
God gives us his greeting this morning, and he says to us, "Grace and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior." As God has greeted us, let's take a moment to greet one another. You may be seated. People of God, our Lord Jesus taught us, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. God has given us his commandments, but we have not lived in full obedience to him. So let us confess our sins to God, trusting Christ Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Let's join together in our prayer of confession. The words are printed in the bulletin, or you can follow along up on the screen. Let's pray together. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light and walk in your ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hear the good news. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us, makes us new. Thanks be to God. Now Jesus calls us to follow him and live as new people. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Let's respond to God's forgiving grace by singing to Him once more. We're going to sing the first place. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. As God's people, we have freedom to come before God in prayer, praying for the concerns of our own hearts and also praying for the concerns of others around us. I have one prayer request just to bring to your attention. Hopefully you've seen this already in the bulletin. We've been praying for Jerry and Mary's grandson, Jacob Krause. They didn't get quite the news they wanted with Jacob's appointment earlier this week. So there's going to be some doctors are going to be meeting on Monday to figure out next steps for treatment for him. So we just pray for wisdom for the doctors, and we pray for quick healing for Jacob as well. Let's come before our God in prayer. O Lord, we praise and thank you, for you feed us with your word and at your table. Lord, we give you thanks for your many blessings that we see in our lives. We give you thanks for the Holy Spirit's continual presence with us, comforting us, guiding us into the truth, giving us strength for each day. Lord, in the midst of a hot summer, we give you thanks for air conditioning and other ways to keep cool. We thank you, too, for cooler days here this weekend. We thank you for the clothing that you give us, things that we use each day and maybe don't even stop to consider as a gift from you. We thank you for children and their energy and their curiosity. We thank you for opportunities that you give us to worship you. We thank you that we have freedom to come before you each week and gather together as your people. grateful for your gifts and mindful of the communion of all your holy people, we offer to you our prayers on behalf of those around us. God of compassion, we remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and the dying, prisoners and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and inhumanity, and all others who suffer from whatever their troubles might be. Father, we pray particularly for Jacob and for his family. We pray that you would give them peace and comfort during this time of disappointment and uncertainty. We pray for wisdom for the doctors who are meeting and making decisions. We pray that you would bring healing to him, that you would set up a successful and simple procedure to be done. We pray for Audrey and Denise and Frank and the care centers. We pray for others, too, in our community who are often confined in their homes. We pray that you'd give them strength and protect them from loneliness. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, that you'd give them comfort. We pray for those who feel unloved and unwanted, that you would assure them of your love and presence. We pray for those who struggle in their marriages or deal with other strained relationships, that you would bring healing. Sovereign Lord of Providence, you hold the destiny of the nations in your hand. We pray for our country. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders, that they, together with all our nation, may seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, so that order, liberty, and peace may dwell with your people. Lord, we're living through an election year. We're thinking ahead to new senators and congresspeople and state representatives being elected in the fall. We pray that you would provide us with good and wise leaders, that you would guide us as we think about voting. We pray that you would bless the work of those who advocate for policies that promote justice and peace and truth and all that is good. We pray that you would bring healing where there is deep division and polarization in our nation and in our communities. God the Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divide your creatures. Increase in us the recognition that we are all created in your image. Lord, we pray for nations and countries that are suffering through war and violence, often that go far beyond what we hear about in the news in our land. We pray for places that are dealing with tyranny and political turmoil, that you would bring relief and restoration. We pray that you would bring healthy cooperation in your world in things like security and trade and care and use of creation, aid for those who are in need. We pray that you would protect and empower those who do development and relief work and care for those who are so often forgotten. God, our Savior, reveal your presence with your church in its struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on its weakness. Bring to an end its unhappy divisions. And scatter its fears. Bless the ministry of your church. Increase its courage, strengthen its faith, and inspire its witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. We pray that you would lead more and more people from every nation to faith in Christ Jesus. We pray that you would raise up good and faithful leaders in the church, here in our congregation and throughout the world. We pray that you would help us all, young and old, to grow in our faith and in faithful living as your people. We pray that you would inspire us to join your mission and bring you glory by being a witness to you. God of grace and love, send your Holy Spirit's blessings on your children here. Keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son and our only Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. At this point, we get to worship God by giving back to him with our offerings, showing gratitude for all that he has blessed us with. As we receive our offering for the ministries of our church and the organizations that we support, we'll also sing together and we'll sing Sea of Victory.
When the darkness falls.
It's time for our children's message. So any kids that want to come forward, you can do that now, and we'll talk for a little bit. Good morning. Here, I can slide this way if you want to all sit on the same side of me. How you doing this morning? All right. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about our Bible story today. So in our Bible story this morning, we are going to hear about someone who's called Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is the king of a place called Egypt. And Pharaoh, in our Bible story, he has some dreams. But he doesn't know what they mean. And Pharaoh is very, very confused. And he asks all kinds of people for help, and they can't help him. And finally, this man named Joseph gets brought to Pharaoh. And Joseph is able to tell Pharaoh what the dreams mean. Joseph says, this is what's going to happen. For 7 years, everything is going to go really, really good. And you're going to have all kinds of food. But then, for 7 years after that, there's going to be no food to eat in the whole country. Everybody's going to be hungry. Now, how do you think that Pharaoh felt when he heard about all of the hunger and all the bad stuff that was coming? No? Okay. I think he probably felt kind of scared. I think he maybe felt a little bit sad. I think he also probably felt like there was nothing he could do, that almost like he was helpless. But Joseph said, we don't have to be afraid. God is in control, and God is going to give us so much during the years before the famine that we can store it all up. And that way, when there's no food, we'll have this extra food stored up that we can eat. Now, do you ever get scared? Can you raise your hand? Are you ever scared? No, you're never scared? I get scared sometimes. Do you ever feel like you just don't know what to do? Like you don't know how in the world you can get through something? No, well, someday you probably will. But we can remember in our Bible story that God is in control. God is in charge of everything. And no matter how scared we might be, no matter how powerless or helpless we might feel, we can ask God for help. And God promises that he'll take care of us. And God promises that nothing is too big for him. So we're going to talk about that a little bit with our sermon today. Thanks, guys, for coming forward. You can go back to your seats, and maybe one of these weeks we'll get you talking to me again. All right, so we've been in the book of Genesis for, I think, a little over a month now. We're looking at the story of Joseph. It's really the story of Joseph and his brothers. So this week, we're right in the middle. And if the story was just about Joseph, it would seem that we've pretty well wrapped things up here. But the Bible is looking at Joseph and his brothers. And so the story will keep going on beyond this point because we've got to learn just what in the world has become of Joseph's brothers. But for now, we'll focus on Joseph and God's provision for him. And for many people around him as well. Now, before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we read your word this morning, please send us your Holy Spirit so that we may come to know and love and serve and enjoy you more. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to read together from the book of Genesis, chapter 41. We're going to read the whole chapter. That's verses 1 through 57. Please feel free to pull out your own Bible and follow along. Sometimes it's helpful to see the word as well as hear it. Or you can follow along up on the screen. Let's hear the word of the Lord. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing beside the Nile River. When out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. And then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. This is the word of the Lord. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is deeply troubled and feels helpless. Last night he had a pair of vivid dreams, dreams that he sure means that some disaster is coming. Pharaoh has summoned all the priests and scholars in Egypt that are supposed to be experts at interpreting dreams. But none of them can explain his dreams. Suddenly, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer remembers Joseph. Joseph, too, has seemed helpless, stuck in prison with no way to get out. 13 years ago, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. He became a slave in Egypt. After a while there, his master's wife falsely accused him of assault and got him imprisoned. In prison, Joseph met the cupbearer and correctly interpreted his dream, predicting that man's release and restoration. But despite Joseph's pleas for help, the cupbearer forgot about him for 2 full years. Now, at the cupbearer's recommendation, Pharaoh summons Joseph for help. I hear that you only need to hear a dream to be able to interpret it. But Joseph points the Egyptian king to the Lord, Joseph's God. I can't do it, but God can give Pharaoh the correct interpretation and give him peace of mind. So Pharaoh recounts his dreams. I dreamed I was standing by the Nile River when 7 fat, fine-looking cows came up and began grazing. And then 7 ugly, thin cows, nothing more than skin and bones, came up. They were the ugliest cows I had ever seen. And the thin cows ate up the fat cows. But no one would have known. Those cows still looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. Next, I dreamed that 7 full, good heads of grain grew up on a single stalk. And then 7 thin, withered heads of grain, scorched by the east wind, grew up. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the good heads of grain. Then I woke up again. Now Pharaoh and all of his officials seem helpless in the face of these dreams. But God is not helpless. God provides the explanation to Joseph, who reports. Pharaoh's dreams have the same meaning. God has revealed to Pharaoh what God is about to do. The 7 good cows and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. Likewise, the 7 ugly cows and the 7 ugly heads of grain are 7 years. 7 years of famine. I repeat, God has shown Pharaoh what God is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming for the whole land of Egypt. But 7 years of famine will follow them. This famine will be so severe, so devastating, that all of the abundance will be forgotten. The memory will be wiped away. God gave Pharaoh this one dream in 2 forms because God has made up his mind. He will do this, and soon. Pharaoh has his answer, but surely he doesn't feel any better yet. There is no escaping this terrible, terrible famine. Once again, Pharaoh and all of his people seem helpless. Now, we too can feel helpless at times, particularly when we face struggles, both personal struggles and struggles affecting the communities and nation and world that we live in. When challenges and difficulties arise, we don't always understand what's happening to us, what's going on around us. Worse yet, sometimes we're not sure how in the world we can get through some difficulty. Maybe we're trying to care for our infant son who's suffering through a seemingly unending series of respiratory viruses and ear infections that make him miserable. Or we're looking after our aging mother and watching memory loss turn her into a person that we don't recognize. Needing to find new work fills us with so much anxiety that we feel paralyzed. A robbery, even in someone else's house nearby, means that we no longer feel safe in our own home. We can feel helpless because of a drought that threatens crops in our area, or a fire or severe windstorm that tears through our community. Inflation, economic trouble, or the rising rates of hate crimes, or a rapidly spreading illness can make us feel like there is nothing that we can do. As human beings, we only have so much strength, so much knowledge, so much courage. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed, or our lives or our world feels out of control. Martiza and her family were born and raised in Syria. In 2013, a couple of years into Syria's long, brutal civil war, a group of armed men kidnapped Martiza's husband and took him away for good. Martiza was left with 3 children, and an endlessly uncertain future. She worried about how she could feed her children. She agonized over whether or not she could really keep them safe. She was so focused on her family's survival that she barely had time to consider what we might think are normal parent concerns, like having good education for our kids, or teaching them responsibility and greater independence. Eventually, Martiza decided she needed to uproot her family and flee to another town in the hopes of being safer. There, she remarried, hoping that this would help her better provide for her children. But Martiza's new husband struggled to maintain a steady income in a war-torn land. Increasingly frustrated, he began to take out his anger on the children. He sent Martiza's 12-year-old son off to work, hoping that would help take care of the family. Martiza pleaded with her husband not to harm the children, to put her son back in school. But he wouldn't change. Martiza longed for security for her children, but she didn't know where she could turn. She just felt helpless. Pharaoh may seem helpless, but God is not helpless. Pharaoh's dreams, and particularly Joseph's interpretation of them, point us to God as the one who's in control of the whole world. God is active in the world, sending both abundance and famine, revealing himself and his purposes to humanity. God provides Joseph with wisdom to advise Pharaoh on what to do next. So Joseph says, "Let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man. This man should coordinate all of Egypt's preparations for the coming famine. During the 7 years of abundance, let all the extra food be stored up and protected under Pharaoh's authority. That way, when the famine comes, Egypt will not perish." Pharaoh immediately recognizes that Joseph is just the man for the job, because God is empowering Joseph. God uses Joseph to provide Pharaoh, not only with warning about the famine that's coming, but also with a wise leader who can guide Egypt through these coming years. Through these events, God specifically provides for and blesses Joseph. God doesn't just release Joseph from his wrongful imprisonment. God also exalts him to remarkable authority. Years earlier, when Joseph's misadventures began, his brothers took his special robe from him and sold him into slavery. And then, when Joseph was a slave, his master's wife grabbed his robe and kept it to back up her story, the false accusation she made. But now, at last, God delivers Joseph and clothes him once again. Through Pharaoh, God provides Joseph with new, fine linen robes and with other symbols of favor and power. Pharaoh declares, "I'm putting you, Joseph, in charge of the whole land of Egypt. All my people will obey you. No one will make a move without your command. Only I will be greater than you, and only because I'm the one who sits on the throne." God makes Joseph, the former slave, into the ruler of Egypt. And Joseph goes forth, and he takes charge of the whole land. After Joseph's birth family betrayed him long ago, God provides Joseph with a wife and two sons. As Joseph chooses the names for his sons, he recognizes how God has given him a fresh start, how God has made him fruitful so that his life no longer feels defined by his suffering. In this very same place where Joseph had his troubles, Joseph now says that he is experiencing God's blessing. God is empowering him to move forward. Just as God promised long ago to Joseph's ancestors, God is blessing Joseph because God is blessing his chosen people. But God's blessing is not limited to Joseph and his new family. God carries out all of his plans, just as he said through Joseph. For 7 years, God provides an abundance of grain for Egypt. Joseph stores up more grain than he can even measure. Then famine finally comes, and all the people run out of food at home. But because of Joseph, Egypt, unlike all the rest of the world, has food, even food to spare. Not just the Egyptians, but other people from other lands too begin to come to Joseph for food. As God promised, God is using his chosen people to bless the nations of the world. By preparing Joseph and Pharaoh for what's to come, God mercifully preserves life. He provides hope, even in the midst of great difficulty. God is in control, and he provides for Joseph and for Egypt and beyond. Now, Joseph's story wasn't the last time that God showed that he is in control in Egypt and beyond. About 400 years after Joseph lived, God's people were all slaves in Egypt. But then God announced and performed a series of wonders that left that generation's wicked Pharaoh and all of Egypt completely powerless. Once again, God lifted up his people and freed them from slavery, bringing a wonderful time of deliverance. But Joseph's experience points ahead even further than that, pointing us to Christ Jesus. Jesus, God the Son in human flesh, took the role of a servant. He suffered the ultimate humiliation of undeserved crucifixion. But God the Father vindicated Jesus by raising him from the dead. Through his death and resurrection, Christ has freed all who believe in him from slavery to sin and death. Now God has exalted Christ to reign at his right hand. Before his ascension into heaven, Jesus declared that all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to him. So Jesus' followers began to proclaim that Jesus, our Savior and Lord, is the one who is in control of all things. The Holy Spirit started leading people from every nation to put their faith in Christ, to receive forgiveness and life and all Christ's blessings. Jesus' resurrection, his exaltation, gives his people today confidence that God is never powerless and that suffering is not the final word for Christians. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to understand our circumstances, particularly our struggles and troubles. God showed great mercy. He provided for Joseph and Egypt, but they still endured the famine. Jesus warns us that we will have trouble in this world, yet he also assures us that he has overcome the world and that he is always with us. Our God continues to provide for his people today. He empowers us to move forward with his blessing, even through overwhelming difficulties. God gives Christians throughout the world courage to keep on witnessing and worshiping, even through persecution. God makes his church grow despite opposition. God provides strength for another day or night of stressful caregiving. God provides perseverance to keep looking for work or start rebuilding after a terrible storm. God helps abuse survivors discover resilience. He offers them hope. He even empowers them to give forgiveness. Our God never leaves things to chance. We might not always understand what he's doing or how he's in control, but he promises that he will never abandon his people to go through life alone. He promises that he will indeed take care of us. God listens to our prayers. He provides endurance, hope, healing, food, finances, rest. God gives his people encouragement and faith and the help of other Christians so that we can see every good thing as his gift, another sign that he is in control. God provided for Martiza and her family. Even when Martiza felt helpless, God was still in control. He made sure that she heard about a local church that had been helping some people out. Martiza went and she talked with the pastor. He listened to her story. He visited with her children as well. And soon, Martiza and her family were receiving a basket full of food every month. God provided food for this family, but that wasn't all that God provided. Martiza said the importance of this food basket goes beyond its nutritious value. It helped my son go back to school. It helped improve my husband's temper in dealing with my children. God provided you see, unknown to Martiza, God was working through many people and events to provide food not just for her, but for others as well. The pastor that she reached out to had connections to a local humanitarian agency. And that organization was connected with World Renew here in the U.S., receiving support from churches across the U.S. and Canada. Despite the horrors of war, God was in control. God had a system in place to provide food for thousands of people. And through that act of love, God provided encouragement, hope. People of God, though we may feel helpless, our God is never helpless. Our Lord Jesus, exalted from death to life at God's right hand, assures us that he is in control. Our God enables us to move forward, even in difficult times, because our God provides. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. God our Father, you are sovereign. You are in control of all things. When we feel helpless and overwhelmed, help us to trust in you, for you are never helpless. Thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to provide us with salvation and hope. Thank you for providing for our daily needs, for giving us strength to get through our troubles. Thank you that you are always with us. Enable us, your people, to see your loving provision and to bear witness to your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond to God's word in faith, proclaiming what we believe, using the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 27. I'll read the question. Please join me in reading the answer. It's printed on the screen and in the bulletin as well. What do you understand by the providence of God? The almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that, leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Let's respond to God also by singing together, Blessed be your name. Let's rise in body or in spirit as we sing. People of God, our Lord Jesus sends us forth into another week to live for Him. God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. And know that as we go, God sends us His blessing. He goes with us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.